Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by Ironman U, EverySite.com, the coolest new technology around, RunCatalina.com, our Challenged Athletes Foundation. We've raised over $70 million to keep athletes in the game of life through sport. You can check out any of our interviews on Babbittville.com or on iTunes, where we've had over 700,000 downloads of our interviews. Our next guest, Andrea Mead Cross, has a new book out, Sports Souls, the Book. Andrea, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Bob.
Hey, well, Andrea, it's been a long time. I know you look at all the different sports you've been involved with. Grew up, yep. Born in Detroit, moved to actually not too far from Chicago in Michigan. Was swimming your main sport growing up?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I grew up as a swimmer, and there wasn't a whole lot of swimming in that area, so I ended up moving quite a lot. So I ended up moving to Cincinnati to swim, and then Nashville, and then ended up in swimming at Fort University of Florida. But I was definitely, from a young age, swimming. Swimming was my thing. So, yeah, that's how I ended up eventually getting into triathlons.
What? But you went from swimming, and you mm-hmm. swam at University of Florida. You guys won NCAA yep. championships. Now, did you go yep. right from there to skiing?
No. Actually, my family was a big skiing family, and yeah. I was named after a gold medal skier. My mom always said, "Hey, if I have a daughter, I'm going to name her after Andrea Mead Lawrence." So that's how I got my name. And I ended up. I actually just skied for fun, but I ended up. Later on, getting into triathlons, which really wasn't probably the easiest sport for me because I was a sprinter and I swam really short events. So.
Okay. And what did you swim?
I swam 150, and I was on several USA teams and Pan Ams and
right.
Worlds, so triathlons was not an easy transition for me at all.
No, not when you're talking about going from something that's less than a minute to something
yeah,
that's...
You're right.
And when you got in the triathlon, was it mainly the Olympic format and Olympic distance?
Absolutely. That's why, you know, our paths didn't cross that much. But I concentrated mostly on that. I think I really wasn't made for triathlons too well. I loved the sport. It was like a challenge mentally and physically. But I wasn't really built for it. I was kind of like sprinter build. And I always wanted to do the Ironman. I did qualify and down at Gulf Coast 1 year, but my main focus was really the international distance. And plus, I also had asthma, and it made it kind of difficult. So it was a struggle for me, but I loved it.
Now, did that draft legal format suit you, or
yeah.
you like that?
No.
No, yeah.
Funny you ask. I think that really started to, the sport was different. When I first
right.
got in it, back when T-Rex was still
exactly.
walking the earth.
Yep, yep. Earth was still cooling. We're talking non-drafting. If somebody sat behind another cyclist, you were a cheater.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But you know what? It was a single sport. It was singular. It was a challenge. And there were more swimmers in it, I think, too. But once that started to come around, I think it was a little more challenging because I foresaw that, oh, gosh, they're going to have teams now. And they're going to have people getting together and grouping up just to help somebody. And it was kind of a little daunting at first. I didn't really care for that. I don't think it really, I think that the intent was back then was, oh, let's going to show, it'll be on TV. It'll be more viewer friendly.
Right.
And I never really saw that happen that much. So, but that was kind of upsetting to me, actually, I have to say. It made it more difficult. That was back too when I first started. You know, they had the issues with the wetsuits and
right.
All that kind of stuff, and it made it kind of difficult. And you, as you know, you've been around for a long time, and as a competitor and also covering the sport,
yeah.
all the multi sports, and it there was a lot of change. That was a big change, I think, for the sport.
Oh, huge! It basically, for anybody who was a you're a cyclist, your
mm-hmm.
ace was basically taken away. And you had to become a great swimmer. Back then, you had to be
yeah.
an amazing swimmer, had to be front pack, and you had to be a great
mm-hmm.
runner. Absolutely. You had to be, you know, if you were a great swimmer, then you can sort of hang on a narrow, flat bike course, especially a looped course, and then it became a running race. I mean, nowadays it's a lot different in that you have to be able to really hammer the bike as well. But still, it's a swim-run game, and that's tough for someone like yourself.
Yes, I think so. I think I was pretty good on the bike as well. I had to get off at the front, and the idea was to be ahead of everybody. And I never ran before triathlons, and it was a real challenge, and I was proud of what I was able to do. I had to drop a lot of time and to be able to be in the top. And I think that it was just difficult once the drafting came around. I still feel like, you know, it was more left up to luck, too. You had to stay in there as a group on that bike. And if you weren't, you know, when you got in there on the bike, once you got off, it was a runner's race.
Right.
So then it just turned into a 10K race. So it's really changed. And I think it was a difficult challenge at first. We didn't enter it that way.
No.
We started, you know, to... The sport has changed a lot, and I think from the initial beginnings, there was just a lot of even different kinds of people that never came from any one particular sport. They just wanted to do the multi-sport as the Ironman or even the half Ironman just because it was a challenge. And it was back then, it was a major challenge.
Right. And the thing was, I think one of the reasons that with the advent of wetsuits, all of a sudden somebody who swam forever, the good swimmers didn't benefit as much from the wetsuit as a lesser swimmer. So now everybody came out of the water together. And I think the decision was, if we're going to get into the Olympics, we can't leave it up to judges' decisions. We can't leave it up to draft marshal who's winning the gold medal. So I understand it. And also from a television perspective, 30, 40 people off the bike together rather than one. Could be more interesting. So what year you were a college athlete, then you move into being a pro triathlete, and that's always the toughest part, that what do I do next? Where did photography come in for you?
Okay, exactly. I think that is a really good point. Even Scott Timmy wrote a whole book on it. That transition is difficult for everyone. You're used to a certain way of life, and now you wonder, what am I going to do? But I have to say, I think because I swam before triathlons, and that was a long career for me, a lot of leaving home and excessive training, that I was always thinking ahead. And I was in visual communication, so what actually really happened was I was on my way to, I was going to the Asian International representing the United States. And then my mother got gravely ill, and I moved home, and I just really couldn't train that well there. I didn't do a very good job of it, I'll say.
Yeah.
So I ended up giving that up and not going, and I just never went back, which is crazy. But I got into what I had gone to school for, which was visual communications, and I started teaching that down in Miami in a design school, and I became an adjunct professor teaching visual comm for FIU and at Miami-Dade. And I actually started through documentary and video. I got into that and started making documentaries. And one of the ones I was working on was a really neat project for Angelo Dundee, who was the famous, world famous years ago corner coach for Muhammad Ali, George Foreman, Sugar Ray Leonard, and so that's kind of. And I didn't know anything about boxing. I hated boxing.
Sure.
I didn't know the first thing about it. And it was funny because someone else brought me in and taught me the business, and I just fell in love with that aspect, and I started working on several of them. And then it just became too hard to do. I figured, you know what, I think I'm really going to put my eggs and more into the photography basket. I feel like I could do that on my own, and I don't have to rely on so many people. And documentaries are really a labor of love.
Yes.
You know, but I saw some really great things, and I learned some really amazing lessons from people that brought me in and taught me. And that, you know, even to this day, especially hanging out in boxing, they'd always be like, what are you doing here? You know,
right.
This is a nasty sport. What are you doing here? I was so naive. I just didn't really understand, but I loved the storytelling of it. And I loved working with the different athletes and the seedy old gyms, and that's really what kind of got me sparked, and I decided, well, I'm going to focus my attention on athletes, and I'm going to start working more on my solo pursuits of photography. And here I am, you know, 10 years later, and it's starting to really come around.
I'm imagining that as an athlete yourself, you get more acceptance from the subjects you're shooting because you can relate. Because when they're suffering in there, if they're training or they're competing, whatever they're doing, they have a sense that you've been there before, that you can get deep inside them and bring out what they would appreciate and you would appreciate. Did you find that your athletic background helped?
Absolutely. I think that and even the group I choose to have around me, we have this synergy with the athletes, and we have something, I don't know what it is, but it does exactly what you're saying, help bring out the best in them, help them to realize, look, we understand you as an athlete. Because, you know, athletes are not models, and they may be fit and great looking, but it's a whole different ball game. And I can tell you, you know, whatever makes you good as an athlete doesn't necessarily make that good for photos.
Right.
If you're a good swimmer, and you know, what makes you great as a swimmer is that you have that upper body strength and you're bigger. If you're into, the speed skating, you're going to have a really big size. And it makes it difficult. And I think because we have an understanding in the group that I've chosen to surround myself with, we just have this connection and synergy, and it seems to be working pretty well. And I think it's my passion I love to shoot people, but athletes especially. There's just something about it, and obviously it's probably because of my past.
So when you're shooting boxers, I don't think there's anything as raw or as gritty, because you're talking mano a mano, and it's one person against another person, and there's not a lot. Not a lot left to chance. It's basically who wants it more, who has it that day. And you know fairly quickly who's going to be the dominant one.
Yeah.
You know, the psychological part of those guys, what leads somebody to get into a – and I'm sure that's one of the reasons you like shooting it. What leads somebody to say, okay, I got an idea. I'm going to get in the ring and potentially get killed by another guy.
You know, that's true. I think that was hard for me at first, actually. Boxing was so out of my arena. I didn't know anything about it. And when I first got in it, I think what attracted me to the sport was, I had an inside kind of with that. I would go watch them do training, and it was these CDO places like the Fifth Street Gym and in LA, the Wild Card. And I worked a little bit with Freddie Roach and Justin Fortune was a friend of mine, and he does all the training out there. It's a different side of it when you see the training too. It's not as brutal. You don't see that so much of the killer side of it. I still don't really like to watch it or MMA.
Right.
But I would get inside and shoot, you know, what they would want me to shoot for their website or portraits. And so I didn't have to like go to, you know, the events as much as though I went to New York with Angelo for the Muhammad Ali opening and did a fight there with him. But I think it was more, I'm still more of the artist type, I think. I try to draw things out in people, and whether they're a boxer or whatever type athlete, I think it's really just, I'm attempting to push them as much as possible. And, you know, you hope you don't go too far, but within their limitations and their abilities, and you're hoping you can bring something out in them. And that's really what I strive for, especially with my portraits.
Was there an athlete who you went in having a certain perception of what they were going to be like, and they totally surprised you?
That's a tough one. I can say that I think more than it's like a surprise, I think I've been inspired by a lot. Like, for instance, I know that you work with the Foundation for Talented Athletes.
Yes.
And I actually, a long time ago, my first pro team was with Jim McLaren, who is just the most, I know you really had a connection with him. And you look at something, I think the inspiring side of it for me is I seem to be really fascinated with it, is that the resilience in athletes. For instance, and even in my book, there's several guys, Sam McCulloch, he broke both his ankles before the last Olympics and then ended up going and winning a medal anyway. And Maddie Bowman, who was a snowboarder at the last Olympics, and she shattered her knee at the trials and didn't tell anybody. and had to suffer through a month before, suffer through the Olympics and wins the gold medal and then immediately goes into surgery. It's that resilience and that drive that is just fascinating to me. And even someone like, you know, I know you just had on your show, like Taylor Finney.
Yes.
I mean, I shot him before his accident, but how you probably thought he was never going to ride again.
Exactly. Yeah.
And now he's, you know, on his way back. And it's that kind of thinking that really draws me, I think, into this, to those. And I deal with a lot of that. A lot of people that, you know, they've come through so much or they've moved the bar.
So you've also done ABC World News Tonight, Diane Sawyer, mm-hmm. Oprah, mm-hmm. Super Soul Sunday. Mm-hmm. Those are high profile. That's high profile stuff. When you do that and you're with a Diane Sawyer or you're with an Oprah, talk a little bit about being in their presence and what you get out of that.
Well, you know, I can tell you that athletics and the competition, I think that, as you know, because you came from triathlons and that's and helped you in your area that you're in with all the radio shows and the writing. I think that athletes, especially the best ones, have a sense of the big occasion and they have ability to rise to it. And I think that's something that I've had to learn to carry over to photography. There's moments that were a little daunting for me, but I've slowly learn to transition all of the things that I've learned. You know, it's the same thing when you go on any show or you go and be photographing someone. You have a certain limit of time for them. You have to be ready to go. It's like a show. And basically, I think it takes the same things that you do in competition with goals and planning and determination and dedication and all the things that carry over. And that's what's really helped me. I've been recently, it's gone a little bit bigger and bigger, but I don't see it that way. When I'm there, I feel like I'm still in athletics, and it's just a challenge. So it's just part of the whole thing, and it took some time. I've had my moments where I had that Pepto-Bismol, believe me. No, I'm not kidding. So when
you come up with the concept of Sports Souls, the book.
Mm-hmm.
And you come up with the original concept. Did that change? Has the book changed substantially from what your original vision was to where it's at now?
You know, it's not that far. I think I just originally thought I want to do a book, and I obviously shoot a lot of athletes. That's where I'm going to head. But I also have a lot of concern and care for animal welfare, and that's just my own personal thing. So I thought, well, look, you know what? I'll mix the two because I'm one person and I can only do so much. And I have a big love for animals. And I thought I will donate when I do this book, I will donate to some select charities to help them out. And at the same time, it'll be a great project because the athletes will like it and have a showcase for them in a different light. And I will really enjoy working on it. And it's really, I think, worked out. And it's just getting ready to launch on Amazon, so that's good. So, finally.
I was going to say.
Finally.
So people can get it if they go to AndreaMeadCross.com. They can get it from your site.
Well, yeah, as a pre-order, we just did it that way. But it will be available, I believe, even on Monday on Amazon.com. It's getting ready to launch off there. But I did it on my own site just to pre-order because I wasn't quite sure when I was going to be able to have it at Amazon.
Right.
So we do the pre-order, and that's fine too. But it's all for a good cause, and we had a good time. And I think there's a lot of athletes that they also have a little. I asked them five different questions, most of them, and they answered them to go along with their own photo shoot, and it's kind of enlightening in some ways. Some better than others, but it's pretty neat.
What's interesting is some of my buddies over the years have shot, you know, Michael Jordan and folks like that, and they've told me, okay, we're doing a poster of Michael Jordan, and Michael will walk in and go, you have 90 seconds.
Yeah.
So it's basically you've got to make sure everything is set, the lighting, everything is perfect, so when that guy walks in and starts his watch, that within, you know, 60 seconds or 90 seconds, you have everything because they're not going to stay.
No. And that's where I said I think the competition aspect of it really has crossed over. It's pretty intense sometimes. I haven't shot Michael Jordan, but who knows, you know. But I think I learned, I'll tell you a little story.
Yeah.
I learned about that kind of thing from a guy when I first got into video. He worked for everybody, and he had worked for every major channel, worked in New York, and he taught me a lot about the business. But the one thing that I got my master's in, basically, was he taught me how to be fast and how to be confident and just, you know, get in there and do what you got to do. And he used to work for Geraldo at one point long ago.
Yeah.
And they had basically 10 minutes to walk in, see, do a site survey, set up their lights, set everything up, and be ready to roll. And if you weren't, you were pretty much fired.
Wow.
So he taught me that, and it was just basically, you know, don't ask for permission,
just
ask
do
for forgiveness.
It. Exactly. just get it done.
Yeah.
Love
so
that.
So that's been, yeah.
So the book is called Sports Souls, The Book, and available on Amazon on Monday and available now at Andrea Mead. That's AndreaMeadCross.com. Congratulations, Andrea. I love it when people come from swimming to triathlon to being an artist.
Well, thank you so much. And I just appreciate you having me and giving me some time on here. And it's so good to talk to you again. You've come a long way, too. You hung in there. That's amazing. I mean, you've gone from so many different media formats, and you even were a competitor. It's pretty nice to see that you're still hanging in there and doing so well.
Well, thanks, Andrea. I think the key is, and you know, we gain a lot from these sports. These sports make you resilient. These sports make you think outside the box because you constantly have to change, especially in triathlon. You got three sports. Usually you're coming in being good at one of them. So you have to be pretty darn wide open to figure out how to get good at the other two.
Yeah, this is true. And anything can happen, just like in photography.
Exactly.
You can have the best laid plans, and then it can start pouring rain. Well, in triathlons, something could change immediately. The weather, the course isn't so good. You don't feel good that day. And it's a long way. And it's that emotional kind of Ferris wheel that I think even is so interesting in how you make it through that mentally and physically.
So, Andrea, what? Speaking of that, was there one experience you look back on as a photographer where you came in, or videographer, where you came in and you had plans, and then all of a sudden you had to totally, you know, you had a MacGyver it.
Oh yeah, well, that happens a lot. Like you plan as well as you can, and then you change it all. But at least you had a plan, and you know you're. But I think one time when I was I don't know if it was the first or second time I shot Misty May.
Yeah.
She came into town and was waiting to shoot with me for something. And so I had it all planned out and everything. I thought I was, this is perfect. And that morning, I think it had dropped like 20 degrees. It was pouring rain. It was just awful. And we were going to be shooting on the beach. And I'm telling you, it was just like, what do you do now, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it was so horrible out, I can't even tell you. That was definitely one of those moments with the Pepto-Bismol, you're thinking, oh, my goodness. And so, you know, the funny thing was I figured out once the rain stopped, I just thought this is going to be a really moody, great-looking shoot. And I think one of her most iconic photos that I've shot of her came out of that.
Isn't that funny?
It's really, and you know, it's even when I shot the Lamoureux twins for the book. Actually, they're the twins that they're on the hockey team.
Yeah.
The hockey team, and they are just the nicest, most real people. They were such supportive people, and this was in North Dakota. But in the fall, you figure, okay, it's going to be there'll be leaves, and it's going to be great. It's going to be fall. It'll be beautiful. Well, it changed overnight. It to like 40 degrees, freezing. And the trees were on the side blowing, and I'm looking out the window going, whoa, I think the dresses outside are out. I think that's safe.
Yeah.
You know, it's fair to say. And it just one thing after another. I mean, we got there, and it was dark, and the place was locked, and we had to call somebody up at like 5 in the morning to come and let us in the arena. And it just went one thing after, and then somebody else was heavy ice, and it was crazy. But it helps when, you know, that's why I said I keep going back to athletics. It's you know, if I hadn't been in that, I don't know if I could get through those kind of things and still pull something off.
And pull something off that's great. A lot of times you get, you know, from that having to make lemonade out of lemons, you end up with the best lemonade you've ever had.
That's right. And isn't it just like kind of triathlon?
Totally.
Like that same kind of emotional roller coaster and have to hold your head on straight. And you could lose it at any moment.
One of the things I always draw on is I remember one of the interviews I did with Mark Allen. He was at the Nice Triathlon. He'd won the race 9 times. And he was hoping to win his 10th title, and he woke up on race morning sick as a dog. And he's like, I can't even race. I can't even get to the starting line. And he had a little conversation with himself and said, you know what? I'm going to go to the starting line. I'm not 100%. I'm probably 60%. I'm going to get 100% out of that 60% and be happy with the effort. And he ended up winning his 10th title. So it was just one of those things where you just, if a guy like that can go to the starting line when he's sick as a dog and not have any expectations and still win, you know that there's something inside you that sport will help you get past a lot of those hurdles.
And you've seen that so much. I mean, I remember, Mark Allen, we were actually in a talk show together many years ago. Like I said, back when T-Rex was still on there.
Yes.
But it is funny how, you know, that's something that you must be fascinated with, too, as an interview person and someone who's seen so many people come through your ranks, that there's an innate drive to go on. There's something about it, this resilience, especially with your foundation. You have people that they can't even walk.
Right.
But yet they're convinced and they've been given a whole new lot on life, and they become just, amazing athletes in lieu of just having terrible, terrible things happen to them in life. And yet, isn't that funny? Like I alluded to before with Jim McLaren.
Yes.
I mean, I can't imagine, like, when I first knew him, it was so amazing. He had one leg amputated below the knee. You thought, wow, what an amazing guy. This big old guy played football, Now he was doing this. But what truly was fascinating and even inspiring was when he had his second accident. Who could have the spirit to get up every day and be happy to be alive, happy to be living on this earth? I don't know if I have that same, will inside me. I think there's nothing more inspiring than a person like that whose whole life was wrapped around sports.
Absolutely.
And yet he found a reason to get up every morning and be happy.
Andrea, thank you so much for taking time. Again, the book is called Sports Souls, the book, available at Amazon, available on Andrea's website, which is andreameadcross.com. My name is Bob Babbitt. We are brought to you by Iron Man U, everysite.com, the best technology around. RunCatalina.com. We have the Catalina Marathon coming up on March 19th. Our Challenged Athletes Foundation. We've raised over $70 million to keep athletes in the game of life through sport. And, of course, you can check out any of our interviews on Babbitt Phil or iTunes. We've had over 700,000 downloads. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back.